Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 7th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor in the 1st, Mr. Rexbone. How do you do?
How you doing, Brian?
We're plugging along, are we? Summertime.
We are.
Ouch. Pretty soon we're going to start hearing about reservations and registrations for the county fair.
It's like I was just in Ferndale, and things are moving forward. There were only, I think, 64 animals in the – we did a virtual Redwood Acres Fair auction, and I helped out a couple people, Trevor out at Harper Motors and Jack and Michelle at Schaefer's Ace, and bought a couple animals, and they extended the sale one day because it's online and it's, you know, kind of tough to get. But I think all the kids, the 62 kids that sold, all got fair money for their kids. And did you get that fair money?
Yeah, I don't worry.
Okay, I just...
Yeah, the good puns are the ones you groan on. The ones you don't groan aren't that good. So, you know, now that you brought our attention to it.
But yeah. Anyway, I just... And it did real good. And I just... A lot of people put a lot of effort into that. And then the Humboldt County Fair, it looks like it's going. And it looks like, you know, Greg Gomes and a lot of the fair board members are pushing to get horses here, and they're traveling to other tracks, asking people to come, and I think we're going to get there. It's a great effort, and they're really doing a good job. We've had the Spirit of Ferndale has redone the Friendship Square.
Oh, neat.
And done quite a bit. You know, Miss Jim Paulo ran that for 39 years.
And, yeah, yeah.
And so it's looking – I was there a couple weeks ago for the Safe and Sober graduation for Ferndale. Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Barbecue to about midnight for the kids and stuff like that. And it's just – it looked really nice, and it's what it should be. It's the Humboldt County Fair. It's everybody's fair. And
I keep trying to put you out there with the barbecue wagon and all kinds of – neighborhood gatherings and stuff.
I got no shortage of barbecues. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
No, just roll it up and do hot dogs. I mean, nothing fancy.
I've been doing quite a few barbecues, oysters and everything else. It's been kind of fun. I've done a couple auctions, done 3 or 4 weddings. So somebody said
the other day. Now you say auctions and weddings in the same breath.
Well, you can, you know. You can.
This is a little disturbing.
Do you take this guy? Do you take this guy? No. Quick wedding.
Yeah. There's a wedding party.
There's a really great commercial that goes in that. Or we can do an auction to pay for the wedding nowadays.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and a couple of them that I've done, the kids have put them off for a year. So
yeah, I understand.
So their families, everybody could.
Right.
So the families, it was important. What's neat for me is some of these kids, or I call them kids, and they're kind of grown up now and everything.
It's always relative.
But they put it off for a year because they wanted their grandparents and they wanted their friends there. It was right. They wanted to be married. They says we can wait a year so I have all our friends here. And that was a mature attitude by a bunch of young kids. And I says, you know, maybe we didn't do a bad job raising all these kids.
There was some kind of a thing I saw, a couple weeks ago now. It was talking about the tidal wave now, because there were so many, and a lot of the churches are full, and you know, things of that nature. So there's also a huge amount of elopements that are going on.
Yeah,
at the same.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now we can do it. We can do,
yeah.
And everybody is.
No, I think everybody's kind of feeling, wow, it's getting, and you know, we
normaler.
There's going to be 50, 60 variants before we're out there because there's a Delta. Every country western song, Delta Dawn and, you know, everything else. But
and positioning for the power to continue to control.
Yeah.
That's a little bit
Think people are getting a little – we're going to have to approach it a little bit different to have for people to have faith in this. So as long as we keep testing, we'll keep finding things wrong.
Okay. You got your question here. You got a choice between beef jerky and angels. I don't want to pigeonhole your typecaster. Which one you want to go for?
I'm going to go with beef jerky because I know the chance. Yeah.
Not high in the other choice?
I made jerky.
The options, okay.
I don't think I'm ever going to be near an angel.
All right. Why are strips of dried beef called beef jerky?
Because when you eat them, you kind of have to jerk it apart.
In the days when the West was being settled, Meat was often cut into long, thick strips, dried in the sun, and carried in saddlebags until needed for a meal. The name was given to this meat was charcuterie, a Spanish word meaning dried meat. When the meat was beef, the dried strips were called beef charcuterie, which was later pronounced and spelled beef jerky.
I'll be darned.
So another mutation of another language.
Yes.
Yeah. Del Norte, baby.
The Kingsman's language or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, we're into a new year. We keep hearing that there's surpluses going around, that the normal anticipation that everybody would be playing it close to the vest and things would shut down like we experienced in the food service industry, and lodging wasn't across the board, and that I don't know how, but people were able to start spending money and having projects done or doing it on their own during this time when they weren't working. Sales tax kind of started rolling. Gas tax kind of started happening again. And lo and behold, the budget concerns were exceeded. When you got the numbers from the county for the current year budget, were you surprised, mildly surprised, wildly surprised?
Well, you know, I know you guys talked about this last week, and I heard this number of the budget had come up $50 million because our property and sales tax had gone up $50 million or something to, along those lines. And I think people had to be aware. Said, well, we did that well. We did better. We expected, I mean, a 10 or 12% drop because we'd never been able to judge. And, I mean, our CAO's office, when it comes to financial forecasting, is very, very conservative because they don't want to get us in trouble.
Well, and rightly so.
But I mean, it's don't blow smoke up me. Just tell me the truth or cut it back a little bit. And then everything I get, I'd rather hear good news later than bad news. And so Amy Nielsen and her team, I've got 14 years or 16 years of budget books that I keep lined up so I can keep pulling them out to compare every year. But just to see and to see the evolution, the budget book this year was so easy to read. But I mean, so after I heard that, I says, you know, that's not what I remember hearing. And so I went back into the budget book, and I mean, you know, our property tax went up about $4 million, you know, because you've seen the price of houses and what's going on. So you're going to see a little bit of that. Our sales tax went up 1.22, and our Measure Z tax went up 2.76. So we had an increase of about 8.16 out of that $50 million increase. But with that, we had almost $17 million in storm damage repairs. You know, FEMA monies came through finally. Almost $16 in Humboldt Bay Trail money. And then about $6 million for COVID, you know, testing, labs, and everything else.
Yeah, we'll so talk
a lot
about
of that was
the
throughput
detail.
Money. Yeah.
When we come back, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. You threw out a bunch of numbers there as we were headed to the break about how much or where some additional funds came from for this year's budget. Some of it was pennies from heaven, okay, the sales tax and property tax, okay. Others sounded like it was reimbursement.
Well,
is it reimbursement or was it pay to play? I mean, where did those?
Well, we were given. I don't know, given. It was, you know, through the different agencies and stuff. I think it was almost $15.6 million for construction of the Humboldt Bay Trail. A big portion of that is the part of the trail we're building between Eureka and Arcata, because there are so many obstacles to getting that thing done. And you have to understand, Humboldt Bay Trail started out as the safety corridor years ago. I think 20 years ago, everybody remember,
right.
We were going to build the safety corridor. I says, hey, while we're doing it, let's build the trail. Which is, I mean, let's further the trail and tie it all in together. And now it's morphed into, you know, it's going to be a, you know, the it's going to be, I think it's going to be very usable for a lot of people.
It'll be interesting.
You know, that's coming through. We got a lot of storm damage, road repairs, which is FEMA state.
So when those dollars come back, okay, if it's FEMA stuff, it goes, I would imagine, yeah. It goes to roads, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that makes sense. The trails come in. Does that go to public
goes
transportation?
Public goes to public works.
Okay. So yeah. Tom is in a spot now. Can he allocate that towards bridge repair, asphalting, things of that nature?
The trail does, money?
Yeah. Or does
trail
it
money's
go
trail
into,
money.
It stays
trails
where
money,
it is.
Trail money. It will get audited three times. You're going to have to. It'll be. I mean, it is audited two or three times to make sure it is spent properly. So there is no diversion of funds.
By who?
Huh?
Who does the audit?
State. We do an audit. I mean, they're, everybody wants to make sure, and rightfully so, because you can't ask for one thing and then do it to another. And
those are
that
the
money
old
days. Is that money is extremely siloed.
Yeah.
It's not says, hey, that most of that was, I know, but we can fix Bob's office too at the same time or whatever. Those days are kind of, you know, because everything is that transparent. So, and then we've got almost $5.5 million more for the COVID, for the genomic testing, the mobile testing. I mean, now we have a mobile, we've just brought on a mobile van that has personnel that is going all over the county. We're driving to the Hitherlands to make sure the only persons that aren't getting the test are people that don't want it. It is not because of accessibility.
Isn't it to that point already?
The number I heard was 3.5% was people that want it that haven't got it yet.
That's so all. That's everybody's about 4,000 people?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah. I mean, it's
with all
it's
of the there. Places all over the
and
county
I heard,
all of the time?
I heard, what was I saw numbers the other day, like 17% are not going to get it, no way in hell.
Okay.
And I think that's.
But that's way over that threshold that they were talking about, herd
yeah.
immunity.
Yeah.
Herd immunity.
Yeah.
Not herd mutiny.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure I get that right.
And you know, I and public health, our JIC, Ryan Derby, everybody that's been involved with this 14 months has done a marvelous job. They've done a great job. We've done, and we didn't
when
have.
When is
to
that
utilize.
Going to be disbanded?
It got disbanded last week. Got disbanded last week, and now DHHS is covering it all. Sheriff's office is back taking. Sheriff's office is getting ready for forest fires.
Yeah.
I think they're getting nervous, and they're getting ready about
and rightly
fires.
So.
And, yeah, and rightfully so. And we're like I said, we're still going to get – we're. I mean, I think our public health officer says – I mean, I think I've seen three front-page stories in the last 2 weeks that waiting for the next surge, and I think he's keeping everybody aware. But I think we're not seeing those surges because people are doing a basically pretty good job.
Yeah, it's either like waiting for Godot – which to me is the worst possible live theater production that anybody could ever do.
Yeah.
Me and existentialism don't go too far. Or it's one of those, we're going to, I don't know, when you were driving the kid around or when you were growing up, do you feel sick yet? As you drive, do you feel sick? Do you feel sick?
Yeah.
Pretty soon you start feeling sick.
You make them sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same thing. Well, okay, we'll wait for this. We'll wait for this. Wait. And eventually, you know, it starts to happen. Yeah, it's like, look, aren't there other issues that can be dealt with right now that might help us out just as much?
I'm not going to be an advocate. I am an advocate for vaccines. I get a lot of friends give me, I get a lot of grief saying, look what you're putting this poison into people's bodies. All I know is people, the amount of people that get sick or die that have been vaccinated, it's 80 times greater. 80 times greater if you're not vaccinated than if you are. So if I can
it's an insurance policy.
So if I can 80 times, yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna.
Some people don't have insurance.
You know,
okay, fine.
And I like says, you know what this is gonna do to you in 10 or 15 years? And I says, you know what? You know what?
Says, 10 or 15. Not only
years
that, baby.
Not gonna be my issue. I finally hit that point where I'm buying ripe bananas. So, but I mean, you know, and I understand people's concerns. And I respect that. I'm not going to fight with somebody that they should get it. If you feel strongly about it, then be really careful.
The thing that I find interesting, and not to lean on one side or the other because I see as an individual's choice, is for your kid to go to school, they have to be inoculated.
Yeah.
Okay. The same principle is here. I certainly don't want government say you have to. That's not.
I think
no.
I don't want to put this on Morgan Stanley, but it was one of the financial firms, Wall Street firms, basically said, he says, I want everybody to start coming back into the office, see the 1st of August or 1st of September. If you can go out to dinner on the weekend, you can come back to work on Monday and Friday.
Yeah, isn't that perfect?
And the way he said it was very easy, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I believe, and I wish I'm going to find out exactly what he said, but Sean Brenneman, our head of our probation, adult and juvenile probation, said it best the other day. How are my younger people going to learn from my older people on a Zoom call? Because they don't see how they interact. They don't get that hands-on approach.
Right, you got to be there
with their leaders and with the people that supervise them, and they miss that advancement. So yeah. I mean, that's all part of the.
It's all there. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Rex Bone. Rex, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the pressures, I guess, to either wear a mask, not wear a mask, vaccine, not vaccine. It's interesting for me to see all the pressure that was put in this for community health, for benefit, for economic, for And yet we can't get any traction on the state, either doing state or regional mental health facilities. And when we start talking about what really is impacting the economic viability of a community, if you don't feel comfortable there, you're not going to invest, you're not going to stay there, you're not going to travel there. Since last we got together, we went down to Bodega Bay and arranged it. And we came back after 2 or 3 days. Went out to Glen Allen, saw Kurt doing some building, and came back and stuff, and came up one. What a thrill that is to drive.
Yeah.
Spent the night in Fort Bragg and then came home. And she said how safe she felt.
And that
was a major thing. Now, we didn't go through any county seat.
Yeah. No,
okay.
And with that, you go to Santa Rosa.
But we come home.
And they're sleeping under the overpasses.
We come home, and that's what we run into. Yeah. And it's like, it's interesting how we can sit around and go, yeah, and we kind of could become a little immune to it. Not relaxed, but immune to it. And with what I understand, so many of these folks need mental health services. Now, it might
the
be substance
I hear
abuse.
Up to 70%, 70, 75%.
Where is the hue and cry from the counties banging on the state or the state representatives and saying, enough is enough. We need to do something. We need to help these folks out. We need to take back our communities. We need to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and set up some large regional facilities. Is there any traction? Is anybody talking about
I think it scares them how big the issue is, and I don't think they can get a handle on it. And they think, and sometimes I get the feeling, we need more housing. We need, I mean, let's fill, you know, like the city, we're going to fill our housing and put them out. Okay, I saw today at lunch, I saw a gal in a parking lot on a very busy intersection, taking off her clothes, talking to every piece as she took it off. She was not endangering herself or others, unless it was the people rubbernecking going, what the hell is she doing? But as she's doing this, I mean, she's doing the whole park, dancing this whole park lot, throwing rocks up against this empty building, and I pick up my phone, and I'm thinking about calling the place. I'm going,
who?
I go, who do I call? And it's frustrating for me. It's embarrassing for me. I've 67 years here. It was embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this isn't what I, you know, what. And
it's not acceptable.
And it's not because people are cold and hard, but I also worry about the person who was doing this. If we put them in structured housing,
won't change anything.
That they still need to get a balance in their lives to be in structured housing, or else you find structured housing being damaged or burned or other things. So, I mean, I don't know how we handle that. We've done pretty good on placing some of these people as we build this, and we've got,
But this is a whole different thing. This isn't homeless. This is the mentally incapable.
It's the mentally homeless that are, you know.
Yeah. So,
and some of these are homegrown. I mean,
that to me doesn't matter.
That even matters to me worse because other family members.
But Mendocino County's got that.
Yeah.
Trinity County's got that. Every county has got that. And to separate them from everybody else.
Alpine doesn't because it gets to 20 below zero.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, nobody lives there. Okay. But to have something like the old, whether it's Napa or something else, where everybody's talks about you can't get substance abuse. You know, if you want to get off booze or drugs, you got a waiting list. Well, okay, that's not doing anybody any good. You've got these that need just supervision if they took their drugs every day. Yeah, okay, and somebody was fine-tuning it so they didn't get too foggy. Okay, and then you got those that just need 24-hour supervision, and they're gone. But you still want to be able to best life that they can have.
Detox is a good point.
But all of that stuff everybody has, so why not take either an old mill site or a large compound and do something structurally, but the state has to step up and pay for it. They can't sidestep. Do Olay and have the counties be responsible for this because the magnitude isn't the county.
And they're putting some money out. And I just talked to Connie Beck and I says, what are we doing? And so I can't let too much out. We are working on a piece of property. It's going to be mainly a daycare, somewhere where they can go all day long, get services.
Or must go?
You know, you hear these laws. It says if you're going to move people along, you have to have somewhere for them to go. This will be somewhere for them to go.
Okay.
This will be a structured. We're going to see what because there are services if we can get them to do services. Remember, a lot of them they don't have to take services, so they don't because they're not because it's not in their head to
sure.
And then, I can't speak what's in their head.
But we bring in the judges and the sentencing, and say, okay, we don't want you to go to jail. You're going to go to Connie's house instead.
Yeah,
and you're going to receive the services there, and after whatever the period of time is. Okay.
And we're going to be limited where we can put these things is because this is probably one of the biggest things people don't want in their neighborhood because they're
unstable
people.
That's why it has to be out of the neighborhood.
Yeah,
it needs to be segregated somewhere.
Yeah.
As many old mill sites as I do.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit more. Why not take one of those? It's got water. It's got all the infrastructure in play. Dandy.
You got to understand, we're in California, so it's going to have to be brought up to a certain amount of standards.
Oh, sure.
Of living standards. And
okay. I mean, we're spending that money anyway.
I went to Santa Rosa and looked at, I think they had 60 units built at an old school that they built out on the edge of where they had the fire.
Kind of like their version of Sempervirens?
Oh, they were the little pallets. No, the little pallet house. There's people that
could. Oh, okay.
And then they had one centralized tent where they could get their food. So there was a little 6x8 you could sleep in, kind of like Betty's Village in a roundabout way and everything else. But they had $2.9 million into it for these 60 beds, all white. Because, I mean, you got to wire it, you got to sewer it. All of a sudden now the little things
all the infrastructure wasn't there before.
Yeah. And so it just, I'm not saying it's not doable, and I'm not saying that we don't try hard enough because I think DHHS gets the same phone calls that I do and we do about what are we doing. And sometimes it's
But the state needs to be there, too.
The state has to step up. I mean, I hear this, and they say, we're going to throw $1 billion here, $1 billion there, and I love this. I keep telling everybody, we're going to run out of money sometime. We're not going to run out of money. We're going to run out of ink. The federal government's going to run out of ink because, I mean, they're printing money like no tomorrow.
Well,
so.
And to me, it would be, if if Newsom wanted to stay governor, this is the one thing he could do real quickly and save his backside. We'll see. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohn. Rexy, what are we doing with the leadership? I know the five electeds are there. Thank you very much. But staff, certainly there's a lot of things that are going on.
Last week was Amy's last day.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I've worked for two CAOs now, Philip Smith Haynes and Amy, and I got to work with.
How's Phil doing? Did you ever hear from him?
Phil checked in on Amy's goodbye the other day at the meeting and said hi, and he seems he's back in Kansas, back where his parents live, so he seemed very happy.
Is he still in government?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's still Slater County, Slaughter County or something. He had the badge on.
Okay.
But, we're going to have a hole with Amy being gone. Everybody says they always leave a big hole and stuff. But Amy, with her fiscal responsibility and her fiscal 20 years of fiscal in the county, I mean, we just won two major awards for our budgets the last 2 years. You know,
that would be budgets going in, budgets
the CAO
that were closed.
Side. Yeah, that was. And so we've got an interim in there, Alicia Hayes, who's been over in the CAO's office for 7, 8, 9 years. She's been with the county for 10 years. So maybe,
so she's a known factor for you guys.
She's a known factor. She's she's from here. She's a good, she's got a lot of ties to the county and stuff. And I think she's going to do fine as the interim until we figure this out. But I don't know if we're ever going to figure out. It always amazed me how much respect throughout the state Amy had because of her demeanor and her knowledge and her ability to handle situations for.
I would figure, there's only 58 of whatever the position is. Well, you get 58 times 5 for you guys. It's a pretty small.
Nine if you're San Francisco, but anyway.
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, San Francisco's always out on its own, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty tight-knit community.
It's a tight-knit community, and it's not. There isn't like you can go out and grab somebody, and then you grab somebody that looks okay on paper or so-so on paper as well. It does really good. And then they're going to run everything on a one-hour interview,
you know.
And it's just and it's sometimes it's better the devil than the. So I think we're going to be fine now. I was really sad when Amy left. I don't think the county's had somebody that's been as devoted as her. I mean, we've had some pretty good people. I mean, Loretta.
Yeah, no, you kind of go back.
Yeah, you look back. I never worked with Loretta, but I worked with Loretta. I never worked with her at the county, but with other things throughout business career and stuff like that. But we've been pretty fortunate, and I just think, Amy's not going anywhere. They've bought a business, and she's going to spend a little more time with her kids. And she put 23 years in with the county. So, I mean, she's put her shift in, and her husband, Ryan, they've got, the business they bought, and then obviously the family business with Ryan. Right. So, but it's tough. It's gonna be tough. But I think what made a good leader is she's got a great, great staff underneath her that will be able to step right
How
up.
How big is that staff?
CEO staff. We have five? The ADA, six people.
Okay.
Counting. The administrative assistant up front, 5.
Okay.
And you have to understand, we're looking at a CFO, and I always hear this thing, well, maybe if we get somebody with more financial knowledge. And we have a $500 million budget with all the new throughputs, the state program. It's not like the general fund has grown like the DHHS and these other things. And I don't know very many $500 million corporations do not have a financial person in charge. But it was great that Amy's been able to handle it this long. But we, at the other end, maybe we're missing grants because she's not able to do that. Maybe she's missing that. So I think with her expertise and the CFO, it would have worked great. we're going to have the same thing because Alicia has been a big part of the budget team, along with Sean Quincy, and I mean, there's the slew of others.
Do you need to have someone who is a numbers person in that slot? Because you got, you know, each of the departments have got their own numbers people. Or do you need somebody who's a good manager?
You need somebody that can juggle all the balls. I mean, that's the whole thing. You need a good
manager. I'm trying to think of, okay, and outside.
They don't need to be an expert on everything, but they need to know a lot about everything. And, you know,
a deep generalist.
Yeah, we already have people that are experts on everything. I don't need that.
All you have to do is ask people.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, we're going to do fine. Amy hasn't got, she's still someone I think you can call and ask a question to and get the straight.
Well, and that's one of the beauties with a lot of the folks. They're still around. They still know the basics are the basics. The structure is the structure. If you got a question, you know, you could call up three or four former blanks and be able to get a pretty good read.
You can call. I run into, you know, Jaconi all the time. We run into these people, but the one thing
you can call Murray too. He'll let you know.
No, no, he calls you.
true story. All righty, bud. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, man.
See you everybody tomorrow.